Thank you for joining this sermon podcast from Cornerstone Fellowship in Forest City, North Carolina. We hope that you are blessed and encouraged by today's message. Cornerstone exists to glorify God as we passionately pursue Him and make Him known through worship, discipleship, fellowship, and outreach. Here's today's message.
You are the ones who put us on the field, allow us to be on the field, sustain ourselves on the field, and enable the ministries of Hindustan Bible Institute and College. And if y'all were not faithful, if y'all were not supportive, if y'all were not encouraging, if you didn't partner with us and didn't come, we would not be as effective. Amen? Oh, you guys are weak on that. Amen. Let's try one more time. We would not be effective, would we? Amen. Amen. And because of that, we are very thankful. Lynette and myself, Lynette is sitting right here. I'm going to let her stand up so you can give her a hand. We've been so thankful to the Lord. This last year was our 40th year. This is our 41st year since we've been with the ministries of Hindustan Bible Institute and College. And we're so thankful to the Lord that He's allowed us to not only be able to serve Him and watch Him do some incredible things that we have not would not have been able to see happen, but He was so good. He put a vision in our heart. And you know, as I was sitting there and thinking, as that video went by, many, many years in 1980s, Rich and Jenny Cotterello were in San Jose. And I remember the time when we met with a guy by the name of Jim Montgomery in the church that they worshipped in. And when we met them, he invited Jim to come. And that was the beginning of how God began to help us see how there could be a church in every village and colony of every town and city of our nation. And you know, when I look at it and think about what God has done over the years, it's beyond my imagination. For us to think that God has added 700,000 churches in the last 40 years is amazing. Amen? We ought to give the Lord a hand. And if it, you know, if God had not done it, it would not have happened. But He brought people in our lives. He brought individuals in our lives. He brought churches in our lives. He brought movements into our lives. And as we work together and partner together, we began to see God do some incredible things. And now this nation has at least 50% of the vision that we wanted to see happen. We want a church for every 1,000 people. As quickly as our churches are growing, so is our population. At one time, we thought we would need just, you know, a million churches. But now our population is 1.5 million. So we need about 1.5 billion. So we need a million and a half. So we've crossed 800,000. Now we've got to see another 50% added to our church, our nation. And there will be a church in every village, in every colony, of every town and every city of our nation. And that is because y'all have been involved. And I just want to say thank you so much. This morning, as we go and look at the Word of God, I want to talk to you about amazing things that God does in the midst of a time when things are difficult. You know, COVID came along, and when COVID came along, it brought great discomfort to many, many people. I mean, even in institutions all around the world, they're still struggling with the thought that how do we get off the ground? We were fully functional. We were operational. Everything was going so well. We had everything in position. And then, boom, COVID comes along. Everything gets dysfunctional. And all of a sudden, we're having to relay the foundation, develop structures, do all kinds of things that will enable us to actually become effective once again. And sometimes we think, man, are we ever going to get there or not? But I want to share with you, and I want you to be encouraged by this, okay? I want you to know that in the midst of COVID, when things were looking really, really bad, and we were not able to actually think that we could actually facilitate the ministry. Listen to this, okay? In 2019, we were still averaging below 1,000 churches every year. This was before COVID hit us, okay? We had only 693 churches that were planted by our church planters, okay? Now I want you to listen to this. COVID comes. And when COVID comes, we think, oh no, we can't plant churches. Churches have to be closed. People can't do anything. And would you believe it? In that year, they started doubling the number of churches that we were planting. You know why? Because everybody were planting churches because there were no churches. Hallelujah. They went in 2020, 2021, we had 1,521 churches. The next year, they had 1,145 churches. The following year, they had 1,680 churches. Did it reduce? No, it increased the number of churches that God was planting. And you know why? Because he said, I will build my church. And amazing things have been happening through the ministries of HBI. And I want to just encourage you not to think that things are not happening. Things are happening and God is still at work. And even when things look like they cannot happen again, God is making them happen. And amazing things are happening around the world because he wants the world to come into reconciliation with him. Amen? And he wants every man, every woman, every boy, every girl come to that context where they can worship him and grow in the knowledge of his son, our Lord Jesus Christ. And so I believe we are in a time of immense growth of the Church of Jesus Christ. It hasn't stopped growing. COVID made it multiply. People who thought they will not be able to plant churches, they wanted to worship the Lord. So homes and houses were gathering together. You know, the story is told about our pastors. They couldn't go back into the village because the villagers told them, don't come in here. This is COVID time. We don't want to come to your church, nor do we want you to come in here. And then slowly after a period of time, in the midst of this, the peak of COVID, people started to come into his house and say, Pastor, pray for me. Because, you know, people were absolutely destroyed when families were lost and people in their families went to be with the Lord. And they would come and the pastor would say, please come into the house. Please sit down. Tell me what happened. And he would listen to their story and he would cry with them and he would pray with them. He would mourn with them, but he would also rejoice with them. And then when he came by, he would, before they left, because we had released resources for the pastor to go into the villages when they couldn't go into the villages so that they could serve the people, but the people wouldn't let. He had tons of stuff in his church and he would give it to them and he would say to them, take it home and take care. Give it to your family. And he would bless them. Before long, family after family started to come to the pastor, to visit the pastor, to see the pastor. And he would pray. And before long, they were starting worshiping communities inside their homes. And their families were coming together. And that's how churches were multiplying. Isn't that amazing? When we think the impossible emerged, God says, that's when I emerge and make the possible and make it bigger and greater. And so churches were multiplying. Leaders were being developed in the midst of COVID. And God was doing amazing things. And we praise God for that. And church, I want to say thank you. But this morning I want to talk about a circumstance in the life of the people of Israel. A time when Israel was challenged. And Israel themselves were beginning to forget who God was and what God had done for them and who he was and how he called them. And he set them aside with a purpose. And in the midst of that, they moved away from God's purpose. This happened over and over and over. We were studying the book of Judges in our church before we left. And, you know, we saw that happen over and over and over again. You know, they'll come into a relationship with God, and then God will bless them, and they'll forget God, and they'll go away from God, and then God will bring them back to himself. And when he brought them back to himself, then they would once again worship the Lord Jesus Christ. But the cycle went over and over and over, with each of the judges bringing them back to God. And Israel, all through its time, kept forgetting that He is the sovereign God. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. And all through that time, they would lose perspective and forget that He is the sovereign God. And instead of following God, they'll go away from God. And you know, Israel had gone through many times and many difficulties and many challenges in their lives. In fact, by the time the book of Habakkuk was written, and Habakkuk came as a prophet to minister to the people, it was a little different from the other prophets. But when he came to minister to the people, the northern part of Israel had already been scattered. Assyria had come, and they had scattered the people of Israel, and Israel were all over the world. And sometimes I think God has a purpose even in that. He allows us, and He serves us, and He blesses us, and when we go away from Him, He scatters us so that His purposes can still be done, and the nations of the world can hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Yes, and so it's so important for us to realize that. And still at the bottom, here was Judah. And there were this nation that were, they were two tribes of Israel still worshiping the Lord, but worshiping away from God. Instead of worshiping God, instead of fearing God, instead of loving God, instead of living for God, they were being so destructive. And Habakkuk comes to God and he says, God, how come you're blessing all of the nations of the world and you're allowing your people to suffer? And if you look in your Bibles, you can turn with me in your Bibles to Habakkuk chapter 1. I'm going to go through the whole book. And we're going to look at this book quickly, but don't worry, we'll have lunch on time, all right? But I want you to be encouraged. But here's what Habakkuk says. Oh, Lord, how long shall I cry for your help? And you will not hear me or cry to you for... cry to you, violence, and you will not save us. Why do you make me see iniquity? And why do you idly look at the wrong? Destructions and violences are before me. Strife and contentions arise. So the law is paralyzed, and justice never goes forth. For the wicked surround the righteous, so justice goes forth, prevented. And that's the nation of Israel. And that's the conditions around Israel. Israel is actually forsaking God, and God is still trying to help Israel to be obedient to Him. But you know, the people around Israel are seeing great blessings. But Israel is living in darkness. And God is asking Israel, and Habakkuk is asking God, God, why is this happening? Why are these people who are ungodly being blessed? And why are the righteous not being blessed? And why are our people actually struggling the way they are? And God says it's because Israel has stepped away from God. God says it's because Israel has worked its way away from following the law. God says because it has forsaken the law, and the righteousness of God has gone away from the midst of the people of Israel. And God is going to bring judgment upon the people of Israel. So Israel will turn back to God, and God will bring them back to be the lights to the nations of the earth. And Habakkuk is saying, Lord, how could you let this happen to us? We're going to be destroyed. We're going to be not in existence. And you know, there are difficult times that are coming to the people of Israel. And all those around Israel who do not know God seems to be rising, being blessed, having lots, and seeing an economy that's great to them. But Israel, on the other hand, is really struggling. And Habakkuk is looking at God and saying, God, how could this be? And then God says to Habakkuk, and I think this is what we need to look at. As we look at our world that has gone through COVID, we look at our world where the foundations have been shaken, and we look at our world and things have been destroyed, and we don't know how to restructure ourselves all over again, we shouldn't begin to say to ourselves, that is the end of the earth. That is the end of the world. That is not the case. In fact, what is happening is God is going to reposition us in order that we can actually become God's most powerful instrument. And God is speaking to Habakkuk and he's saying, Habakkuk, I want you to rethink. I want you to look at it again. I know that there is going to be judgment that's going to come. And I know that Israel may go into Babylon. And I know that this is happening. But I want you to understand, if Israel could only perceive God's purpose for its life and turn to God, God will bless them as he wants to bless them. And it's important for us to realize that we don't throw in the towel and think, oh man, I don't want to start all over again. Maybe it's time that we begin to relook and begin to understand, how can we actually serve God? And I think after 40 years of serving God, I had to ask the question myself again. Bobby, you've had so much of success. You've seen God work in your life. You've seen so many churches planted. You've seen so many leaders develop. You've seen so many things that have happened. But Bobby, do you realize that God may have another purpose and another plan and another way? And if you would actually begin to listen to God, God may do something even greater. And you know, when COVID came, he did do something greater and showed us it's not all about us, it's all about him. Hallelujah. And that's so important for us to realize. And I want you to understand what God is beginning to, what God was saying to the people of Israel. Guys, I want you to rethink. It's not all over, but there is hope for Israel. And the message that came to Habakkuk was, look at the nations and see, because I'm going to do something that is beyond your imagination. And even if I did it, you would not believe it. Look at that verse where it says there in verse 5. Look among the nations and see the wonders and be astonished, for I am doing a work in your day. God is making a promise to Habakkuk. And he says, Habakkuk, I want you to look. I want you to see. Now the option is, if you don't do it, you may turn out and have the greatest and the worst thing that could happen to you. But if you actually begin to look at the nations, and you know what God began to tell me, Bobby, I want you to lift up your eyes and I want you to look and I want you to see what I'm doing in our world. And I want you to take the responsibility to join me. And if you join me in the task, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to put my hand upon you and you can go to a new level. And you know what God made me do this year, last year at least? He said, Bobby, I want you to unleash. I want you to give away everything that I had brought into your life, every blessing that I had brought into you, and I want you to unleash it and let those leaders begin to take it, but I'm going to do something new in your life. And I want you to look at the nations, and I want you to look at the world, and I want you to look at what I'm going to do. And all the years that I have blessed you, you know what I want you to do? I want you to take it, and I want you to go from one nation to the next nation to the next nation. And if you allow me, you know the things that I've done all these years, I will allow you to see it happen in one country after the other. Wouldn't that be amazing? I would be so amazing if God did that. I can't wait. I'm 71 years old. I don't know if I'll ever reach the age that Rich is. But man, if he gives me that 80 years of living or 90 years of living, I'm going to be in big trouble. I think that I won't be able to stand up like he is. I look at him and I think, how on earth he has energy and capacity to do the things that he does. But if God gave me the grace and God wanted me to do that, then I want to be part. And church, here's what I want you to understand. I'm trusting God. We're going to continue to work with HBI. We're going to continue to be based in India. But what God is putting into my heart, listen carefully. What would happen if there was a HBI in Sri Lanka? If there was a HBI with a vision for saturation church planting in Malaysia? What if there would be a vision for saturation church planting in Myanmar? What if there was a vision for saturation church planting, now listen carefully, in Bhutan and also in places that are closed that can be opened up? And you know what? God is bringing people into our lives. We've got a team of people now who are coming into our training center in West Bengal, and these people are from Bhutan, and we're training them. They're men and women who are followers of Jesus Christ, who are living in Bhutan, and God is opening up a door. And you know what we're going to call HBI in the future? It's going to be called Hope Builders International. Isn't that amazing? And we've started Hope Builders International in Nepal. And we're asking God, God, will you help us in Bhutan, in Myanmar, in Sri Lanka, in Malaysia, in Singapore, in Indonesia, in every one of those nations that we can go in, find a team of people, work with them, partner with them, and envision them and train them and equip them the way we have in the last 40 years in India to help them understand what is saturation church planting. How can we have a church for every 1,000 people? And how people inside the community who don't need to go to theological education can actually multiply churches? Do you know that the largest number of churches that have been planted are not by the theologians that went to theological seminary, but by pastors who are bivocational, who are working in our city, and who are serving the Lord. And as the Lord uses them, they are working simultaneously, multiplying churches, multiplying leaders, and leaders are multiplying other leaders and churches. And that's how there is a multiplication, a saturation of churches today. Isn't that amazing? And God is saying, Bobby, would you look at the nations? I want you to do, I'm going to do something beyond your imagination, but would you do it? And God was saying to Habakkuk, Habakkuk, look at the nations. I'm going to take you. And God can take Israel and he can use Israel. But you've got to see that the nations is on my heart. And the nations that are lost without the gospel need to have the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we need to multiply churches so people can worship the Lord all over the world. Amen? Amen. And I'm so excited about that. But then Jesus said to Habakkuk, I want you to understand something else. If you really want to see what I want to do in the midst of the nations of the world, you can't throw in the towel, but you need to constantly affirm my sovereignty. And if you look in the word, it says, are you not forever everlasting? O Lord my God, are you not the Holy One? We shall not die. O Lord, you have ordained them as a judgment, and you, O Rock, have established them for reproof. And God is saying to Israel, Israel, if I am going to use you, you need to turn back to me. And what you need to do is, I want you to affirm my sovereignty. You know, when Israel had gone away from God, and Isaiah was the prophet that was working with them, Isaiah thought, in the year when King Uzziah died, King Uzziah was a good king. And when he died, Isaiah thought to himself, there's no hope for Israel. His son, he's an ungodly man. And Israel will never be able to survive under his leadership. And they will never be God's very chosen generation. They will become a lost community. And you know, he was wondering what is going to happen. And the word of God says, in the year when King Uzziah died, Isaiah was standing at the threshold of the temple of God. And while he was standing at the threshold of the temple of God, God gave him a vision. And the vision was that I am seated on the throne. And if the mission of God is going to happen, God is saying to me, Bobby, I want you to know, everything may be going wrong. Everything may be falling apart. All things that you think cannot happen, you may think is not going to happen, but I want you to know I am still seated on the throne. Hallelujah. And because I'm seated on the throne and I'm high and lifted up, at the voice, at the beckon of God's voice, anybody God can call, and he would allow God to use us. And all of a sudden, Isaiah looks at himself, oh my God, I'm a man of unclean lips. Who am I to serve the Lord? And then God comes and touches him. And he says, here am I, Lord Jesus, send me. And you know, God is looking for us to understand that he is sovereign. And he was saying to Habakkuk, Habakkuk, I want you to know, I'm everlasting. I am the creator. I am the Holy One. I am the King of Kings. I am the Lord of Lords. I am the God that's seated on the throne. And if you come to the place in your life, if you would just understand that I never change, I am the same yesterday, today, and forever, I have a vision for the lost. I want them to be reconciled, and I'm going to reconcile them to me. Israel is my instrument. And if you would all turn back to me, he's saying, I will use you. Hallelujah. Isn't that awesome? We have a sovereign God who we can trust in the Lord, and he will continue to live in us and through us. And because of that, God is doing some incredible things around the world. The question is, do we really truly understand the sovereignty of God and allow God to work in us and through us? It's so important for us to know that. And I want you to know that when we begin to look at that, God begins to use us. I want to share with you that the total number of churches that have been planted in India since the time God took us. Now, the video did say some numbers that are slightly lower than the numbers I'm going to share with you, is 17,699. Isn't that amazing? Now, did I ever think that? I remember the day when God called us and he said, Bobby, I want you to go back to India and I'm going to take you there and I'm going to plant 1,000 churches through you. And I said, wow. My dad said, we need 600,000 churches. You just want me to plant 1,000? Okay, I'll go back to India and I'll plant 1,000 churches. And so I was so excited to go back. And when I got there, and I told my friends, we're going to plant 1,000 churches. They looked at me and they said, Bobby, you're crazy. We have been here for 100 years, and our mission hasn't planted 1,000 churches. How are you going to plant 1,000 churches? And I said, Lord, how did you do this to me? You really messed me up, because there's nobody who has planted 1,000 churches in 100 years, and how am I going to plant 1,000 churches in 10 years? They think I'm crazy. But you know what God did? He didn't plant 1,000 churches in 10 years. He planted 1,157 churches. And today, in 40 years, he has planted over 17,000 churches. Wow. That's amazing. There's nothing too hard for the Lord. Amen? Amen. But that's only through our movement. Only through the movement that God said, Bobby, I'm going to start a movement, and I'm going to call it the Indian National Evangelical Church. And that was the only thing. But the total number of churches that were planted through this movement called CONS, the Council on Church, is amazing. We saw over 171,000 that's not the number I'm looking for. We saw 816 new churches in our country added. Isn't that amazing? Yeah, that's amazing. God is doing some incredible things in our nation. And it's important. You know why? Because he said, I am sovereign. Do we understand the sovereignty of God? Do we understand that he is high and lifted up? Do we understand he's still in control? Do we understand, even when everybody pulls the carpet under our feet, that things are going to happen because He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen? And I hope that you will not throw in the towel, but that you will keep saying to yourself, God, I'm not going to give up. You're in full control. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. You're the Creator God. I can trust in you. And whatever you are saying to Habakkuk, I'm going to put my arms around it. And I'm not going to be like Israel, but I'm going to be like a child of God that trusts in the Lord, because you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen? And God's going to take us, and He's going to use us. And He's going to use us in a mighty and most powerful way. The third thing that He says to the people of Israel is in the second chapter. And He says, and the Lord answered me. And when He says to them, behold, his soul is puffed up. It is not upright within him, but the righteous shall live by faith. You know, the Apostle Paul picks up on this in the book of Romans. But here, Habakkuk is talking about the fact that God's people who actually want to live for God need to realize that our life is based on our trust in a God. No matter what is happening around us, no matter how things are falling apart, no matter what is going to happen because of the things that are happening, maybe in the stock market, maybe in the politics of our world, and maybe in the world that is fighting each other with all the wars that are taking place, what God wants us to understand is that the just shall live by faith. And if we only trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we begin to realize that God has called us to a life of faith, He's saying to us, I want you to understand, I'm in the boat. We're all traveling together. I'm by your side. I will never leave you. I'm always with you. And because I'm always with you, you know what? No matter how things are happening around you, if you trust in me, I want you to understand that the boat will not sink. Hallelujah. Amen. And because of that, we can trust in the Lord. And God says, you know, I want you to know that, Habakkuk, I want you to know that the knowledge of the glory of God is actually going to cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. Amen. Which means that the day is coming, and no matter how Israel behaves, no matter how the world functions, God is saying that one day there is going to be a community of people that are worshiping me everywhere. And if it's not Israel, it's going to be the church today. And God is saying, I want you to understand that Israel is set aside, and Israel made a choice not to be obedient to me, but because I sent my son, and he said, I will build my church, and those who confess that Jesus is the Christ will become the instrument of God. Today, the church is his instrument. Amen? Amen. So let's not sit down. Let's not get defunct. Let's not get to the place to think that, man, everything is falling apart. Let's not be like Israel. But on the other hand, let's say, I am a child of God. I believe in the sovereignty of God. I believe that God has a plan for the nations of the earth. I believe that God wants to reach every man, every woman, every boy, every girl, and that there's going to be a worshiping community everywhere. And because He has called us and said that one day that'll happen, that the knowledge of the glory of God will cover the earth as the water covers the sea. Amen? Do you believe that, church? Yes, one day, everywhere. And when I look at my nation and I think that 50% of this nation didn't have the gospel just 40 years ago, and because God said, I want you to go and plant churches, I want you to establish worshiping communities, I want you to go places where the gospel is not preached, I want you to reach the unreached people. And we went there, and we trained people very differently from what other people were doing. We didn't train everybody to be a theologian, but we train them to be church planters. We train them to share their faith in Jesus Christ. We train them to be able to teach the Word of God. And before long, we began to see the multiplication of churches, and churches began to be added everywhere. And we're beginning to see the mission of God is beginning to accomplish. Because God said, if you trust in me, there is nothing impossible with God. And when I look at it and I think about it, and our people in our mission know that, and many people in our nation know that today, there is an ongoing movement of saturation, church planting everywhere, all throughout this nation, and people are multiplying churches. Today we won't talk about evangelism in my country. We only talk about planting churches. Once upon a time, we only talked about evangelism. Preach the gospel, share your faith with people, bring them into a relationship with Jesus Christ, and let them fall on the wayside. But today, no. God said, go and make disciples. And because we make disciples, you know what began to happen? People got deep into the Word of God. People had a faith in God. They began to trust the Lord Jesus Christ. They began to share their faith. The Word began to transform their lives. And today, there are worshiping communities everywhere. And I don't think the BJP is going to be able to do anything to stop the church from growing in our country. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're going to see the church grow faster and rapid than ever before. Because it's not about addition. It's about multiplication. And because of what God is doing, it is going to cover the earth as the water covers the sea. God's glory is going to be everywhere. And I believe what God is saying, Bobby, if you trust me, it can happen in nation after nation after nation. And church, I want you to pray with us. As we go back in June, Lynette and myself, our vision is to be able to travel to Sri Lanka, to be able to travel to Singapore, to be able to travel to Malaysia, to be able to travel to Dubai, to be able to travel to different places. Find people who had a similar vision and lost it. Bring them together and talk about, can we saturate this nation with Jesus Christ by establishing worshiping communities everywhere? And by faith, we're going to ask God to accomplish the impossible. And you know what God is saying? No matter what is happening around you, you look at the nations and allow me to be your instrument. You become my instrument and allow me to work in you and through you. Then you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to help you understand how sovereign I am. And I'm going to take you in the midst of all of the calamities. And you're going to trust me. And you know what? You're going to fulfill my mission to see that the knowledge of the glory of God will cover the earth as the water covers the sea. And Habakkuk says, oh God, I trust in you. And he doesn't stop there. In the third chapter, you know what he says? God says to him, he says, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. You know why he's saying that? He says, though the fig tree shall not blossom, the fruits of the vine will not produce, nor will they yield any food, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. Hallelujah. And you know what he's saying? No matter what happens, no matter what the circumstances is, no matter how difficult life is, no matter how productive we are, how unproductive things are, even if the land doesn't bear fruit, and even if the people are in situations where economics is bad, everything is bad, he says, I will rejoice in the Lord. Hallelujah. Because he is sovereign. He is still on the throne. Because I can trust in him. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And when God's people begin to come to realize that his mission is not about me, it is not about my personal wealth, it's not about what I can gain, it's not about everything that I want, but it is all about who he is and what his mission is and what his purpose in life is and what he wants us to do so that we can fulfill his mission and go into every part of the world so every ethnic community will have the gospel of Jesus Christ. Church, this is what God is calling us to do. He wants us. I look at these maps and I see the compassion that you have for the nations of the earth. I see those maps, those flags on the wall, and I realize how much you love the world. But sometimes we can get to the place where we think, God, things have fallen apart. They're not the same. At one point in time, everything was just going perfect. But Lord, suddenly something came. And now I don't know how to start back up. And I want to encourage you. Don't try to go back to where we were. Ask the Lord, Lord, how do you want me to begin all over again? And you know what God's going to do? He's going to show you that he is still on the throne. That he is sovereign. And that he has a plan. And in a transforming world, in a changing times, when things don't seem to be productive, he's got a plan. And I will not throw in the towel, but I will trust in the Lord. And because I know that the knowledge of the glory of God is going to take place, whether I like it or not, and the earth is going to be covered with his presence everywhere one day. So every man, every woman, every boy, every girl will be able to confess and worship that Jesus is the Christ. And because of that, I will rejoice in the Lord. Hallelujah. And with this, I want to say to ourselves, don't throw in the towel. Don't give up. Let's continue to ask the Lord, how can I go on fulfilling your mission? I'm not ready to throw in the towel. I want to go to the next level. I'm 71 years old, but it doesn't matter. I want to ask God for more energy, more strength, more vision, more capacity. And I want to be able to say, Lord, take me till my last breathing hour so that I can use, you can use me for his glory. And with that, I want to ask you to consider how can you continue to faithfully serve the Lord. Don't throw in the towel. In these trying times, keep asking the Lord, Lord, what's going to happen in November? Am I going to throw in the towel or am I going to trust in you? Lord, things are so difficult. Am I going to throw in the towel or am I going to trust in you? And I want to say, if we trust in the Lord with all of our heart and lean not upon our own understanding, you know what God is going to do? He's going to direct our paths. And we will see the unbelievable take place in our lives. Amen?
Thank you for joining us today. If you have any questions or would like to know more about Cornerstone, please visit our website at servantsway.com or email us at office@servantsway.com. Cornerstone Fellowship is located at 1186 Hudlow Road, Forest City, North Carolina. Please join us again next week.